Hello and welcome. We also are thankful for your willingness to either through the website of the East Albemarle Church of Christ or through the YouTube channel, making the effort to be on the program with us today that we might be able to have this opportunity to study God's Word together. We appreciate so much you doing this. You also, if you are members of the East Albemarle Church of Christ, you may be recognizing the lesson to some degree that we want to consider today. Back in December the 29th, which was the last Sunday in 2019, I did a lesson on the subject that we're starting our study with today, and that is the statement that's found in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 4, where Joshua said that there shall be space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you must go, for you have not passed this way before. The context in which we use these verses in December was, of course, in facing a new year, the year 2020, that we are now several months into. And certainly always a new year brings with it uncertainties, it brings with it wondering what is to be had in the new year, and certainly as the year itself goes, we have never, as Joshua said, we've never passed this way before. In that lesson, we took the children of Israel and saw how that they had ended their 40 years of wandering in the wilderness due to their unbelief and disobedience to God when the spies were sent originally into the land to spy it out. And of course, 10 of those spies came back with a report that they were giants, that we are as grasshoppers, and that certainly discouraged the people. But the 40 years of wandering is now over, and we find that Israel is back at the River Jordan in chapter 1, about to enter the promised land. It's in chapter 2 that we see this time there were two spies that were sent to the city of Jericho. And there they encountered Rahab, who was very respectful and very in awe of the God of Israel. And therefore, we know, I'm sure, of the story concerning Rahab and what she had the two spies to agree with her. And then we find that Joshua makes this statement, that as they began to cross the Jordan, the Levites will carry the ark. And when they see the ark in movement, the people are to leave and follow behind it. They're to stay a certain distance, like what we read there in that verse a moment ago. And when they step foot into Jordan, the waters parted to a great extent, like what we remember the Red Sea when Moses was bringing the children of Israel out of Egypt. But then there was that statement that they had not passed this way before. We know that, as we understand, all through the book of Joshua, there are many things that Joshua points out to them that would present them challenges that they had never faced up to before. In the 6th chapter, there would always be the challenge of obedience that would be presented unto them. In chapter 7, there would be disappointments, there would be setbacks in their conquering the land of Canaan. In chapter 24, we see that there would be the temptation involving their commitment unto God. And then there was, as Joshua saw in chapter 2, the commitment that they needed to make to their children in teaching and training their children, because this was a generation that had not seen the miracles and the marvelous things that God had done in the bringing of the plagues upon Pharaoh and Egypt, the parting of the Red Sea, the providing them of manna, and all of the many things that God had done. Truly, this generation had not passed that way before. We are now presently involved in the coronavirus pandemic, sometimes just abbreviated by the word COVID-19. We all are concerned with this, as it is foremost in our thoughts. It's constantly on the news, and certainly many of us that who of us would, in our wildest imaginations, would have imagined just a month ago that we would be where we are now, having to experience and see the things that we never dreamed that we would see. So, in a sense, like what Joshua was telling the children of Israel, we are all traveling in uncharted territory. Many of us today are listening to what the media is saying, but we must know and keep in mind what God says to us in His Word. Joshua and Caleb, as we said, had crossed the Red Sea, but that generation that is now getting ready to cross the Jordan had not. They had not seen the waters parted. We know that in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 10, it says that hereby you shall know that the living God is among you, that He will without fail drive out from before you all of the Canaanites. And in that verse is a listing of the many nations that inhabited the land of Canaan. So they were going to have to conquer the land. They had never done that kind of thing before. It's in chapter 13, in the latter part of that chapter, that it says that when the ark shall come to rest in the waters of Jericho, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it shall come to pass when the people remove their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priest bearing the ark of the covenant before the people. So can they trust God? Is the waters really going to heap upon themselves so that the waters coming from the direction that the Jordan flowed, is those waters going to be held back? So can they trust God? And of course we know they can, and they did. And of course the question for you and I today is, can we trust God today? So we have not passed this way before. What I want us to consider is it may require of us a type of commitment that we have not been familiar with before. You know, as Christians, we should let the world see how Christians act and react during times like this. It's in Colossians chapter 2, that verses 12 and 13 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on the tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. The two words that I want us to focus our attention on in these two verses is the word long-suffering and bearing with one another. That is, that we need to be patient with one another. Some of us are driven by fear, and they're fearful that they will get the virus. They're fearful that they get the virus and they'll give it to someone else. And certainly that's a legitimate fear, and we need to be long-suffering. We need to bear with one another in those kind of situations and be patient with one another that have this fear within them concerning this pandemic that we are going through. Some are driven by their consciences. In other words, they're the ones that are saying, well, I'm going to assemble whatever it takes. And again, we need to be long-suffering with these individuals. We need to be willing to bear with them and understand and be patient with them, understanding that even though we may not have these type of things, yet many people do. We know that there are some churches that have completely canceled all of their services. And at the same time, we know that there are some churches that are modifying the services, or they are reducing the number of services. I'm thankful that the church here at East Albertville has not canceled the Sunday morning time that we come together, that we observe the Lord's Supper, that we give as we've been prospered, as the scriptures clearly commands in such passages as Acts 20 and verse 7 and in 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. So I'm sure that the elders have heard all of these extremes that are floating around today as a result of this pandemic. And if and when this all is over, it's possible we're going to look back and we're going to wish that we've done different in one way or another. As we always have said, and as we all realize, hindsight is always better than foresight. But for the moment, we need to be long-suffering. We need to bear with one another. And, you know, really, for all practical purposes, we are, and I'm sure you've heard that expression, we're flying by the seat of our pants. And the elders here at East Abbotville are making the best possible decisions that they know how under the circumstances that we are under. But also, aside from the challenge of our commitment, at times like this that may put us on a path that we have never passed this way before, there's also the fact that we need, maybe more than any other time in our lives, put our trust in God. You know, the book of Daniel repeatedly makes the statement, God rules in the kingdom of men. We find that in Daniel chapter 4. In that chapter, it's found in verse 17, verse 25, verse 32. And it's found also in chapter 5 of Daniel, in verse 21. God rules in the kingdom of men, and we must not forget that. And that's where our trust needs to be put. You know, there are just so many things to pray for. In James chapter 5, verse 16, we're told the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's in 1 Timothy 2 that we're told, beginning with verse 1, therefore I exhort, first of all, that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and reverence. There are so many things that we need to pray for. We need to pray for our families. We need to pray for our brothers and our sisters in Christ. We need to pray for the president. We need to pray for our governor. We need to pray for the police officers. We need to pray for the doctors and the nurses that are putting their lives on the line through this pandemic. We need to pray for the EMT personnel. We need to pray for our elders. The list goes on. So there's no reason that we should say that I do not know what to pray for. We need to understand that there are many, many things, many, many people that we need to pray for at this time. And we may never have prayed before this, but again, we're going through times that we have never passed before. So let us pray for them. We need to put our trust in God. But you know, trust in God is not being careless. Trust in God is not acting foolishly. What I mean by that, I'm not going to shake hands with a person that I know that has the coronavirus. If I know they have it, I'm not going to shake hands with that individual. I trust God. But I also know that I don't need to be foolish. I don't need to be careless. And by the same token, I trust in God, but I lock my doors at home at night. I trust in God, but I buckle my seatbelt when I get in an automobile. So we trust in God, but let us be sure that we're not being careless and that we're not being foolish in this time that we are now experiencing that we have never experienced before. And then too, we need to have concern for others. It's in Matthew chapter 7. We read these words of our Lord in verse 12. Therefore, whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. We sometimes refer to this as the golden rule. It's a very simple rule, but we seem to forget it sometimes. It's not really that hard to do. Just simply do and treat others as you yourself would want to be treated. Also, it's in the book of Philippians, in chapter 2, that Paul makes by inspiration the statement, let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. See, do we not all of us, myself included, stay at home when we're sick? And why is it that we do that? It's because we have concern for others. We don't want others to become sick with the flu, if we might have that, or if we have a stomach virus, or whatever type of sickness that it is. We don't want other people to come down with it. So we need to have this concern for others, especially during this time that we're dealing with something that is obviously so contagious. Not only that, but the same principle, should it not apply when it comes to the fears that others have that are keeping them from assembling in regards maybe to some present existing health problems that they have? Or maybe due to age, because we've all heard that those that have existing health problems and those that are elderly are very vulnerable to this virus, and they are the ones that will probably take it the worst. It will be the hardest on them. So surely, should we not, as we said in what Paul said in Philippians 2 and verse 4, should we not have care for one another and realize that these people, though they're not sick, but yet they're not assembling, that these reasons are truly legitimate reasons. In the same way as we have said a moment ago, that when we're sick, we stay at home. Another thing, since we have not passed this way before, that we need not to forget. Each congregation, each local church is independent of each other. Sometimes we use that word autonomous, and we know that we see it expressed in passages like Acts chapter 20 and verse 28, when Paul said to the elders at Ephesus, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. So we see, take heed to yourselves and to all of the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Elders are to only oversee the local church, the local congregation. That's the extent of the oversight. And then when we look at 1 Peter, in a statement that Peter by inspiration makes in chapter 5 and verse 2, he says, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, but not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Again, the emphasis that we must put is the oversight of elders is upon the church that is among them, the flock that is among them. So that is, the local church is independent of all other churches around about. So then, too, we must not forget that. Each local church is independent of each other. We know in regards to this that there are some churches that meet earlier. There are some churches that meet later than what the church here at East Albertville does. But, you know, I'm glad that we're not bound by what those other churches do. And two, another thing, I need to be careful to not judge what other churches do or don't do. As long as these things are in the realm of opinion or in the realm of judgment, I need to be careful. Because it What do they meet, once a week or twice a week or three times a week? Again, that's them. It's not the church here at East Abbeville. Because a church cancels a gospel meeting, that's them. That's not the church here at East Abbeville. So we need to be glad that we are not bound by what other churches do because of this very simple point, and that is each and every local church is autonomous. And what we need to do, we need to respect the autonomy, the independence among local churches. One other thing, let us not confuse this pandemic with persecution. I think I have heard individuals, Christians, that are trying to do that in the situation that we have at hand. In Acts chapter 26, here is what persecution is all about. Paul said, I punished them, referring to Christians, often in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Remember, it's in Acts 9 and verse 1 that the Bible says that Saul was making havoc of the church. He was breathing threatenings and murder against the Christians. Remember in the 8th chapter, the latter part of chapter 7 as well, Paul held the garments of those that stoned Stephen because of the gospel that he was preaching unto them. So then, it's when we are being made to suffer for our being a Christian, that's what persecution is. It's when we are being made to suffer for preaching and for teaching the gospel of Christ. But friends, what's going on today is not the government trying to suppress religion. Nobody's trying to stop us from teaching the Bible. We still have the daily radio program, Monday through Saturday at 11:15, and then on Sunday morning at 8:30 to 9. We still have the website on which, as we've said, some of you are watching us in this streaming of this lesson. We still have all of that available to us. We still have the streaming that we're able to do in the program now and in the program that Brother Shane Pack will be doing this evening at 5, and then I will be back again at Wednesday at 7 o'clock. So see, it's not the government trying to stop us from teaching the gospel. So let's not confuse this pandemic. And I'm thankful that the governor of our state of Alabama, although she has issued a shelter in place or a stay at home that was issued and went into effect yesterday, I'm glad that she made that exception, that churches could have a drive-in service just as we have done and completed a moment ago here at East Albertville. So no, this is not to be confused with persecution. We're not being persecuted. This is simply measures that were taken under a situation that is very drastic, a situation that is very grave. One other thing. Christians must not live in panic mode. Let's look at Luke chapter 12, beginning our reading with verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? What Jesus is saying in these verses is very simple. Panicking doesn't do any good. But let us understand that panic and concern are two totally different things. And let us realize the things of what Jesus said that we just read in regards to food and clothing and shelter. Did you notice what Jesus said there? The Lord has promised that he will provide. Go back and read verses 23 and 24 there in Luke chapter 12. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 1 that we read these words in verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7. Casting all of your care upon him, for he cares for you. Friends, what are we to do if we're worried? What do we do if we're concerned? There's not much we can do, like Jesus said a moment ago. We can't add one cubit to our stature. But I tell you the one thing we can do, one thing that we should be doing, and that is pray. And think about this. I know you don't want to think about it, but let's think about it. What if I should, or you should, contact COVID-19, and it be a severe case, and you were to die? So be it. Paul made a statement in Philippians 1 and verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see, what Paul realized, and what we need to realize, is that we need to be ready to go. We need to be faithful in our lives. And to realize, as Paul says, that to die is gain. Offense, is that not real trust in God? I think it is. I think Paul had that real trust in God. And since we've never passed this way before, maybe this is the time that we can really, maybe as we've never before in our lives, truly put our trust in the Lord. But also, here's something that certainly we don't need to end our time together without considering. We must take responsibility for our own spirituality. You know, if assembling and Bible study strengthens us, then when we miss it, it's going to weaken us. If we are missing out on the milk and the meat of God's word, what do we do that intentional, or what do we do that unintentional? We will grow weak. We may have the flu and be knocked off our feet for a couple of weeks. We may be involved in an accident and suffer a broken bone, and therefore we may not be able to make it to services for a month. Well, even that, because it's not intentional on our part, we are still missing out on the milk and the meat of God's word, and we will grow weak. And that's aside from saying about those individual Christians that intentionally fail to assemble as they should. So now, with the decision of the elders, which I totally agree with, we only have our gathering in the drive-in service on Sunday mornings at 9:30. They have discontinued the Sunday evening service. They have discontinued the Wednesday evening service. Friends, we are going to grow weak if we don't maintain what is our responsibility to maintain in order to be strong spiritually. And I'm sure it was hard on the part of our Brother Henson and Brother Pack to make the decision to not have Sunday morning Bible study, to not have Sunday night services, and to not have the Wednesday night Bible study. But I am thankful that they have implemented a plan that will provide most every member the opportunity to maintain those spiritual strength. We have the drive-in service on Sunday morning. We're having this at 10:30, which would be normally the sermon that I would present on any Lord's Day morning. Brother Shane Pack will be here on this same website as well as YouTube at 5 this evening to bring to us what would normally be the Bible study on Sunday morning, where we're in study of the book of Romans. And then Wednesday night, I will be back with you and presenting a Bible study of the subjects that we normally would be if we were able to assemble. So I'm thankful that the elders have put all of this into place and has provided us with these opportunities so that we can maintain our spiritual strength. But again, however, we, you, I, personally, individually, we still take the responsibility for our own spiritual growth. So let each and every one of us continue to read and to study. Maybe we don't, maybe there are those members that do not have internet service. They don't have the smartphones that they can attach to the internet and get these streamings of the Bible classes and the sermons like that. But they still have a Bible in hand. They still have a Bible in their home. Let this serve as an opportunity. We've never passed this way before. Let this serve as an opportunity to get our Bibles down and study and read and meditate upon God's Word. Because let's remember that that's how faith comes. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So let us spend time also praying. You know, we've already mentioned the many, many people and things that we need to be praying for. Friends, surely, as Joshua told the children of Israel, we have not passed this way before. It's a time in our lives that none of us living would have ever lived through before. We never would have even imagined that things would have come to where they are now. But let us not panic. Let us not despair. God is in control. The elders of the church here have done an excellent job in trying to help maintain us as that is their responsibility to shepherd the flock, to be able to provide the teaching that is necessary to help strengthen each and every one of us. We have a lot to be thankful for, and I trust that in the days ahead that we will pray as we should, pray for those that we need to be praying for, and continue to maintain and strengthen ourselves spiritually. We want to remind you this evening at 5 o'clock, Brother Shane Pack will direct us in a study of the book of Romans. If you go to the East Albertville website and go to the live stream section and click on it, he will have the outline for the lesson and the study that he will be engaged in this evening. So keep that in mind at 5 o'clock. Keep Wednesday night at 7 o'clock in mind. And again, go to the website and the live stream, and you'll be able to download the lesson that we will be examining in that Wednesday night study. And keep remembering that this program will also air, Lord willing, next Sunday at 10:30. We appreciate it. And one other thing, tonight, for those of you that are in the Albertville area that can listen and tune in, WBSA 1300 on the AM dial and 93.5 on the FM dial, Patrick Donahue will be conducting Bible Crossfire. He will give you his phone number. You can call and speak directly to him. If you have any Bible question, he will only give you a Bible answer for it. If you don't have the ability or not in the area, then if you have satellite radio, just tune to channel 131 on Sirius XM radio. So all of these are opportunities that we can benefit from, as well as the website of the East Albertville Church of Christ itself. There are so many Bible articles, Bible subjects that are there. The radio sermons are there on the website. And all of this is available. You can even take a Bible correspondence course in at your own pace in the privacy of your own home. So keep this in mind, www.eastalbertville.org. And until next time, we pray that you'll be safe and stay well. Thank you so much.